Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, folks. This is Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. Thank you for joining me this evening. I am joining you from the main street of my old hometown, where I'm just sitting here and marveling a bit. But before I talk about that, I'd like to send out a thank you to my cousin, J.R. Smith, who was a gracious host this evening as we took in the Toledo Mud Hens baseball game. Unhappily, it was not a good night for the home team, at least up till the time that we left in the eighth inning. It was 11-2, so figured we'd get a jump on the crowd and get out of there. It's nice to see, you know, the game was in downtown Toledo, and the city is making a lot of efforts to revitalize that area, and kudos to them for that. I do have one tiny small suggestion. They don't have a whole lot of parking for this stadium since it is downtown, and JR and I ended up being directed down a long, dark, blind alley where we parked, which wasn't so bad when we parked because it wasn't dark yet, but when we came back to get the car, it was a bit disconcerting. So, I mean, I will say honestly that I was uncomfortable at the time when we were trying to get the vehicle. So nothing bad happened. We were, of course, manifesting positive thoughts, and the positive thoughts we were manifesting was that we would not be mugged, and rather we would find our vehicle, his vehicle, and exit the city safely, and that's what happened. But I wonder if I shouldn't drop a friendly email to the city of Toledo. I mean, they have to be aware of this problem. It's like it's an old warehouse district, and it's just they've found parking wherever they can among the old warehouses. And there's no lighting back there. It's just there's no lighting is the thing. If there was a street light every now and again, and perhaps a friendly security officer or police officer that would make you feel like you weren't the only human beings in this alley, might be a little better. So perhaps I will do that at some point this week and say, I enjoyed my visit to your city. But getting back to the car did scare me to death. You might want to do something about that. So there's that. And once again, thank you, Cousin JR, for that suggestion. So I drove back, and I didn't want to I'm staying in my old hometown with my folks this week. And I've done the show from their house many times. But I have to be, I won't say have to be, I try to be very careful because by the time, you know, midnight rolls around, my parents are both in their 70s, my brother works for a living, and they're all asleep by the time midnight rolls around. So I don't want to wake them up. And most of the time, that's not a problem. I just find a place in the house that's away from where they're sleeping, and I try to keep my voice down, and that takes care of it. But this evening, unfortunately, I have to report that my mother is a bit under the weather. She's got a nasty cough, which we think is due to seasonal allergies. But you know, anything at her age, anything kind of hits her hard. And so she's not sleeping very well. And I know, I mean, I'm pretty sure anyway, that if I were doing this show at the house right now, she would be hearing every word I say. And, you know, I say some outrageous shit sometimes. So rather than having to explain that to Mom, I figured I would just do the show. Since she wasn't expecting me home anyway, I was going to be in Toledo, I might as well just park the car someplace and do the show here. So that explains where I am. And you may hear the traffic going by me. There is actually a bit more traffic down than there was just a few moments ago. I don't know if there was something going on in town that just let out or something. But I was going to go through this whole monologue about how dead the town is. And frankly, it is very dead compared to what I'm used to. You know, when I was just a youngster here in town, on a Friday night, this street here would have been packed, you know, bumper to bumper with young people in cars having a good time, you know, running back and forth between the cars, unless you were the driver, or maybe even if you were the driver. I never did that, but maybe people did. I don't know. It was part of just part of the way we grew up. I don't know if you ever saw the movie American Graffiti, but it was very, very, very much like that, except we were movie stars. None of them were either at the time. I saw American Graffiti not too long ago on campus and noticed people just sort of marveling every time a different movie star would come on who wasn't famous at the time the movie was made. Trying to think of how much money it would cost to make American Graffiti if all the people in it were getting their standard rates from today. But anyway, it was like that, and I find I miss that, although certainly I would be out of place in that sort of world today. You seldom saw anybody much over the age of 21 or 22 in that lapping. We called it lapping. I don't know what other people called it. I'm sure there were similar situations. I know there was at least one similar situation because George Lucas made a movie about it. Now I'm here in my train again, and I was really kind of hoping, I thought it would be a kind of a cool opening to the show if there was a train going across the track. I'm about a block away from this crossing gate, and I keep hearing horns, and I keep hearing the sounds of the wheels on the tracks, which, you know, are transmitted, you know, even over very, very long distances from tracks. If you ever saw Stand By Me, you know what I mean. But then the horn just sort of goes away, and the train never gets here. And I'm wondering if maybe the train even goes across the track on the main drag now, because there was a big to-do between the city and the train company at one time, actually a number of them, because for a long time the tracks were in very bad condition. There was a fear that there was going to be a train derail, which always gets me kind of nervous, particularly when I'm sitting as near to the tracks as I am now. I mean, if the train were to go off the tracks, there wouldn't be a whole heck of a lot I could do about it. It would skid at least this far, and I'm sitting in the car. What am I going to do? How am I even going to be able to get out of the car that quickly? So it always unnerving to me to be sitting in front of tracks as a train is going by. But in other ways, it's kind of, I don't know, there's sort of a meditative quality to the sound of a train as it's going across the straits, like rhythmic click-click kind of sound. So that's nice, too. I like hearing trains in the distance when I'm about to go to sleep, although it often makes me think of, you know, who's on that train and where they might be going, and then that helps keep me from getting to sleep. But there is some comfort for me in the sound of a train. But I'm not getting one. I'm not getting a train, and this street is deserted. There's, I count, four cars, including me. Or my car, not me. I'm not a car. It's underlines a theme that I've been thinking of for the past few weeks. It's been showing up in a lot of my writing. It's just that the theme of change and change as not being a good thing, which is kind of reflective of my position in life, my middle-aged position in life, as younger people start taking over the things that I love, like Star Trek, for example. I wrote a little bit about that. But, I mean, that's something I have to deal with. The march of time, I'm certainly not going to be able to stop it. So I guess what I need to do is learn to deal with it and try not to whine quite so much, because it annoys my friends when I whine. So last week I wrote about, I'm talking now about the blog, which is on mudtoesasquatch.com. While I'm on the subject, I'll remind you that you can reach me on mudtoesasquatch@gmail.com. Mudtoesasquatch is mudtoesasquatch. So you got your mudtoesasquatch@gmail.com. You've also got mudtoesasquatch on Twitter. And you got mudtoesasquatch.com. These are various ways that you can get in touch with me if you'd like to. And mudtoesasquatch.com, oh, there's also a Facebook page, Mudtoe Sasquatch. The The website is where you find the blog, the weekly blog, published on Fridays. Last week, I had a political topic, and the 2 weeks before that, I talked about the ethics of eating animals. This week, I was really sort of stuck. I've been avoiding, well, there are two things I've been avoiding. One of them is I've been avoiding the whole Boston bombing thing. And the other thing I've been avoiding is this persistent feeling of, you know, all the stuff I love is being taken over by young people and they suck at it, and the empty street in my hometown depresses me and all that. And I almost succumbed. I was going to write that. I was ready to write that this week. Actually, my first attempt at it was my parents' house. They have carpenter ants in their house. And that was going to be the thing. I was going to be riffing on the fact that there are carpenter ants in the house. Then there's another thing going on in town where they're ripping up a bunch of old trees. Excuse me. So they can do some repairs on culverts underneath streets. Apparently, there's some sort of state regulation, and in order to get to state matching funds, they have to have X tree distance Y from the middle of the street, Z, and no more than Z. Then there's some arcane regulation about the size and the distance of the trees from the street. And so, I mean, what they did was they're ripping up all these beautiful trees who have no way to defend themselves. But wouldn't that be cool if trees could defend themselves? I mean, it would certainly make lumberjacking a much more interesting job, wouldn't it? The trees defend themselves. Well, anyway, they can't. Aren't there trees in Lord of the Rings that they sit most of the time, but every once in a while they decide to do something, and then they get up and they raise hell? Am I remembering that? Is it Lord of the Rings, or is that something else? Well, anyway. Last, is it going to be about the trees, or is it going to be about the carpenter ants? And I said, the hell with that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that obvious or annoying. I want to just do something that's going to take my mind off of all of this stuff. So I wrote just the very beginning of a deal that's been in my head probably for the last week. And there's a bit of an ethical dilemma, but let me just describe it to you first. It's written in the form of a magazine interview with a music personality who's down on his luck and trying to get a comeback. And it's basically him talking about his life. And the idea came to me from three local music personalities, local to me where I am now in the big city in Columbus, Ohio. Just having read about that, I follow two of them on Facebook, and just because I've seen them play and I like them, and I could, you know, follow where they are in case I want to go and see them play again. And there was sort of an ugly breakup and a realignment, and certain people left out in the cold, as I perceived it, you know, just looking at it from the outside. And that's where this story has come from. That's in my head. Now, the story doesn't really have anything to do with these people. It's just the situation they're in has suggested isn't the right word. The situation that they're in is the same situation that these characters I'm writing about are in, but the story is completely mine. I have no idea. I've made up all the details. So I have no idea if these details conform in any way with the actual situation. Now, ordinarily, I wouldn't worry about this at all, but as I say, two of the people are Facebook friends, and I do worry that one of them, on some off chance, I don't know why they would be reading my stuff, but let's say, for example, that they are. Not for example that they are, but let's just say that they are. What if somebody reads it and thinks they recognize themselves? And they recognize that what they're really recognizing is the situation. But then they look at my details and they think I'm making some sort of judgment on them, which is not my intention in any way. I'm just writing a story that popped into my head. That's all I'm doing. So I do feel that some kind of disclaimer is in order, but I'm not sure exactly how to write it. I'm not sure exactly where to include it. Should I just put it on my page, or should I include it as part of the story? Because it's probably going to go on if I do it. I've received a little bit of encouragement to finish it, some humorous encouragement, actually, from a friend of mine who is a, I don't know if he's actually a rocker or if he's a DJ, but I know he's a DJ. He may actually be a rocker, too. But I said, yeah, go for it. What I did was, I mean, it's just the beginning of this interview where the guy is talking about how he got started in music. And one of his failings is that he's a womanizer. And my friend, this guy's a friend from high school, he posted on there and said, yeah, let's hear more about the womanizing. And he gave me this whole sort of list of situations that I might explore. And I'm considering having in the next installment, having the character answer a question about his womanizing, using pretty much the words that my friend Scotty so thoughtfully provided for me. I'm going to try and remove them a bit to something more original on my part. But yeah, this is a guy who has he's made his own bed, and now he needs to lie in it. But he's accepting that. And there are people in his life and around him who feel that he has to be punished more, that he has to continue to be punished, that what's happened to him is not enough. And I see that happening lots of different situations around me. And I guess that's something that I wanted to comment on. I mean, how much is enough? At what point do we say, okay, let's just let's live and let live. Let's not let our vindictiveness take over our lives. But then you see, if that's the theme, and then one of these other persons happens to read the story and see the way that their character, the person who sort of shares their, who they provided the inspiration for, should happen to see how that character is acting and think that I am putting that on them as a real person somehow. See, that's what concerns me. Did any of that make sense at all? Let's say I'm writing about the person A. Well, person A inspired character Z. And I write something about character Z, something they did. And then person A reads it and recognizes that the situation they were in, that character Z is in, is the same situation that person A was in. But character Z is doing these negative things, and person A might then assume, well, that asshole Mudtoe must be saying that I was doing those things. No, I'm not. I made up all the details. All the details made up by me. It's just a story that was in my head. People do tend to take things personally sometimes. So that's my concern. I think I need a disclaimer. Just not quite sure where to put it. I didn't put one on this week's. This week's first installment doesn't really get into very much other than we're talking about a guy who's middle-aged now, had some successes as a musician, and his life has kind of fallen apart. And you know, that could apply to a lot of people. So I didn't feel the need to protect myself from recognition of characters based on that. But if I go ahead and do the second installment, I think we'll be getting into some people who might recognize themselves. So the sort of deflection, the protection, the raising of the shields might have to take place at that point. So anyway, if you did read the blog, I hope, which is more of a story this week in a blog, I hope you like it. I hope you liked it. If it does become something I want to pick up and finish, I'm thinking it's going to be at least a 3-week project, maybe 4, maybe longer than that. So if you're a regular reader on the blog of the blog, you're probably going to have to get used to it, unless you know you can get on there and convince me that I shouldn't continue with it. But I felt, you know, I did back-to-back food related blogs about the ethics of eating animals. I mean, if I'm going to get stuck on something, mightn't it better be a story that's entertaining in some way rather than me just wringing my hands? Oh, I don't know if I should eat octopuses. Oh, I don't know if I should eat horses. I don't eat horses. I have eaten octopuses in the past. I don't think I would again. And I don't think I would eat a horse. So that's, we don't even need to read the blogs now. That's pretty much what I said. And then last week it was someone wrote something, posted something that ticked me off. I thought was just unnecessarily vitriolic about liberals. And I'm not a liberal. I don't identify as a liberal. I just thought, you know, someone was bringing this anger to the situation that wasn't helpful. And I responded to them angrily, which was the wrong thing to do. So then I took the space in my blog to respond to them in a more measured way. And they probably didn't see it anyway. But in any case, you know, I got to write something. Got to write something. I sure can't seem to get off a stick on this book. Man, I need to write that book. I need to write that book. It needs to become modestly successful enough that I can pay my rent and not have to worry about being stuck in my mother and father's house for the rest of my life. That can't happen, must not happen, will not happen. I swear this before my ancestors in the tomb that guards their bones. 5 bonus points if you know what movie that comes from. Except you didn't. There's just a line. Okay, I'll just tell you, it's from Spartacus. Mons Olivier says it a lot better than I did. Okay, I was a little bit nervous there because a gentleman was reeling past the car, but he has successfully reeled past without deciding to make any sort of editorial comment towards me sitting in his car, so all is well. It's always a risk. When I do these car shows, meaning I'm on the phone in my car during the show, I just wonder what happens if somebody ever walked up to the car and tried to talk to me, particularly if it was a law enforcement officer. But these things have never happened, so we will keep a good thought that my privacy on the streets of my hometown here will be respected. What else can I tell you about? I can tell you about other shows on Blog Talk Radio. Probably already know about that. I mean, other shows on With Insights channel, With Insights radio channel of blogtalkradio.com. We have other shows, 3 other shows. On Monday is Iggy and Rosa doing intuitive readings. That's at 6 p.m. on Mondays. At 7 p.m. on Tuesdays is the Inner Voice Intuitive Hour with Jenny Seek. And at some point in the afternoon on Wednesdays, I believe it's 2 p.m., but it seems to float from time to time, is the Entrepreneurial Excellence Hour with Heather Tapia. And, of course, Fridays at midnight is Mutto Midnight with Mutto Sasquatch, to which you are listening right now. Here we are again, late at night, just over 2 years into the run of this show. And what have we learned? I promised to think about that. Don't know if I really have, except in relation to the things I already said I wasn't going to talk about, which was those ants and the trees that got ripped up. I went to the park yesterday. It was kind of interesting. I used to see a lot of Little League games there, and the field is still there, but they've taken down the old refreshment stand and built a new one. So progress, time and progress, march on. I found that didn't didn't really aggravate me as much as some of the other things I've seen, particularly since that refreshment stand was in rough shape even then. Sometimes thought that I could give it a good shove and knock it over, so probably a good thing. Although that was sort of a crowning jewel of the town for a while, because somehow we managed to attract the regional Little League tournament, you know, that's the one that feeds the Little League World Series. You know, they've got East and Midwest and West and all that. Well, the tournament that determined the Midwest champion was held right here in my hometown some years ago. Teams from, I believe it was 11 different states. And they put that sign up there on that refreshment stand and stayed there for the longest time. Something rather remarkable came by our little town once. How long has that been? It's been a while. And they do a street fair here every year. Bratwurst Festival. Festival of Bratwurst. And then I mentioned the name of my town. I was, oh, that's where they had that Bratwurst thing. Yeah, that's it. And Kid Rock was here last year, not to perform, but a friend of his was performing here. Actually, somebody I know I was in a show with years and years and years ago. And Mr. Roberts, he played Ensign Pulver. I wasn't in it, actually. I was assistant director, training to be a director, become the powerful artistic force that I am today. Mr. Roberts is an interesting show. Odd in the sense, I don't know if it's odd. It tweaks the leg of, you know, military people. It's sort of about the sort of foolishnesses that come along that are part and parcel of the military. And it seems to me that it was kind of early. It was written years before that was fashionable. So it's gutsy in that respect, I think. More so than South Pacific was, which was a musical, so, and it did kind of good-naturedly poke fun at the military, but in the end, you know, gung-ho and all that. How the hell did I get on that topic? Oh, it was about Kid Rock being here in our little town. Brushes with Greatness. Ronald Reagan was here once. Many years ago, he used to be of a GE lamp plant. I think it's still here. The GE lamp plant in town, and there was a time when he was the national, this was back in the 1950s. He was sort of a national spokesperson for GE, and he was here at our plant basically to tell people how great GE was. No one else. Had a pro football player from here, Tom Mack, played his high school football here. Trying to think of what other brushes with greatness, and I'm going to have to think about them until next week because we're running out of time. A half hour just blows by so quickly. I hope there was something in it that you enjoyed. If so, please contact me on the website or at the Gmail address, mentosasquatch@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Let me know what you like about the show. Let me know what you don't like about the show. And do come back, because you being out there gives me a reason to be here. Once again, thank you for listening, and have a good evening. Good night.